Today's message is brought to us by Tim. This is the final in the All In series and is entitled All In All. Let us now listen to Tim.
All, the All series. Oh, gee, hasn't it been a journey? And maybe you thought we were finished last week because Derek gave us the last line of the verse in Matthew 28 where it says, "And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." You should know this off by heart by now. You should be able to close your eyes and be able to say, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But I want to talk to you one more time about the fact that for us to go and make disciples, for us, the fact to be able to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to be able to teach people to obey everything I have commanded them, to realize the authority of Jesus and to know that he is with us, we need to be able to deny ourselves. So that's what I want to talk to you today. All I, and poor old need is dropped off there. All I need. Actually, that's quite apt, all I, because we're I sort of people, aren't we? We're I sort of people. I need it. I need a nap. I need a coffee. I didn't have a coffee today. I'm going to rise above that. I need a hug. Anyone else need a hug? Karen's available for hugs afterwards. I need some pie. Give me what I want. Sometimes that's really what we say when we say I need it. I feel the need for speed. What's that one there? I need some. Get me some. Yeah. This one over there in the corner, she says, I need some sushi. I don't know whether anybody ever needs sushi, but she does. But you know what? When we think about it, we really do have everything we need on that basic level. I'm guessing most of you would have had breakfast. If you didn't have breakfast, you're probably going to have lunch. If you're not so sure about breakfast or lunch, we have biscuits available for morning tea. Take an extra packet. You probably have clothes on. Yes, you all have clothes on. Look, they might not be designer labels, but they're covering the important bits. That's all that matters. And you probably slept somewhere last night. Maybe it wasn't 5-star, but hopefully most of us had a roof over our head. Our needs were met. But when we think about these things, our needs become our wants, our desires, our aspirations. They sort of become our needs into the future. We need prestige. We need position. We need power. We need influence. We need those things. They're the things that we think that we need. Jesus never promised to meet those things. He said, I will meet your needs. So when he talks about denying ourselves, as you read in Mark 8 there, he's not talking about denying our needs. We need the basics. He's talking about denying the self, the selfish part of us, the things that we think we need, the things that the world tells us that we need, that really just get in the way of following Jesus and worshipping Jesus. But to fully understand what he was talking about there in Mark 8, we need to get the context of how he said it. So I'm going to jump back a bit to Mark. Mark 8, 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi and on the way. Isn't it good that he was on the way? They travelled with him and he didn't sit them down and say, okay, guys, I'm going to give you a lecture. This sounds like it happened on the road, on the way. And he said, who do people say that I am? Now, this is a really good question. And it's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Who do you say Jesus is? Have you decided that for yourselves? Now, you might have heard this before, but C.S. Lewis famously said that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or a lord. Either he was making it all up and just thought that he was who he said he was, because he had some pretty big claims and people had some other big claims on his life. So either he was a liar, and he was living out a lie, or he was a lunatic. He actually believed he was the Son of God and somehow fooled everybody else into it, fooled them enough that they were actually willing to deny themselves and lay down their own lives, or he was Lord. Who do people say that I am? And they told him. They threw out some random things. John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. But why would they think that? Why John the Baptist? Why Elijah? Why one of the prophets? Why did the people say that? Well, John the Baptist was a man who was calling people back to God. He was calling for repentance and challenging authority, and Jesus did that. Well, why Elijah? Well, Elijah did some amazing miracles, and Jesus had done that. He'd walked on water. He'd calmed a storm. Why one of the prophets? Well, he'd called people back to God and told them about the kingdom, and Jesus had done that. But when you look through the Bible, when you look through the people of the Bible and the word of the Bible, they all need to be understood in the context of Jesus, because Jesus was all those things and more. And so he asked them, that's fine, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who was going to come to save them. But then he said, and he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Now that seems a little strange, maybe, in the context, but it's part of the idea of who Jesus is and who they thought Jesus would be for them. Because when they said he was the Christ, this was true. This was revealed to Peter through the Spirit. But Peter and the disciples had an idea of what it meant to be Jesus, what it meant to be the Christ. Because they were waiting for a Messiah, a Christ who was going to come and save them from their oppression. They were waiting for someone who was going to come in his glory and take away these Romans and put in a place a kingdom. And they would come in on the coattails. Maybe there might be a bit of, you know, discomfort, maybe a bit of fighting, but you know what? Jesus was going to come as king. But they didn't understand that. They clearly didn't understand that. And so it says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Now, clearly that wasn't Peter's idea of what a Messiah was. As I said, the Messiah, the Christ, the King, ushering in the kingdom, did not involve dying. It didn't involve suffering. It didn't involve rejection. And so Peter, echoing the other disciples, says to them, pulls him aside and begins to rebuke him. Jesus, that's not how it's supposed to work. We know, we've read the scriptures. You're supposed to be the king, the one who's going to come in majesty and glory. I mean, you call yourself the Son of Man. And I know my Bible. I know what it says in Daniel chapter 7. You call yourself the Son of Man. I'm just going to skip over there right now. And it says there that, behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That's what we're after. We're after that sort of king. Now, Jesus used the title of the Son of Man because it had multi-purposes. It was multifactorial. And Nicky Gumbel says this, it is a title that combines authority and power, as we read in Matthew 28. All power and authority has been given to me, Jesus said. But it combines that with humility and suffering. It reminds us that Jesus' love for us, Jesus does love us, but also that he has authority over us. And often we forget. We love the love part. And it's true, we should. But sometimes we ignore the authority part, the fact that Jesus is Lord. And unfortunately, Peter did that. And so he rebuked Jesus, said, "Jesus, this is not how it's supposed to work." And so consequently, Peter got a very harsh rebuke. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter was seeing things from man's point of view, not from God's point of view. And we do that too. When we look at what we need, we look at how our life's turning out. We often look to ourself and we see things from our own point of view. It's only natural that we do that. But Jesus says, that's not how the kingdom works. You need to see things from God's point of view. And then he called everyone together. And we get to our reading today. Hopefully. And he called the crowd to him with the disciples. And he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." So, calling the crowd to him. This wasn't just for the disciples. This is a message for everyone. This is a message for us. And it's a message I don't really want to hear because it's hard. Denying yourself. Look, I want to give myself everything. If I'm really honest, and you probably do too, why would you deny yourself? I mean, there's just so much good stuff to be had. Why would you deny yourself? But he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus was saying, you've got to let go of the things that you think are important. Let go of the priorities that you have for your life. And instead, embrace the way of God instead of the way of man. It's not an easy thing to do. It requires us to reorientate ourselves, to rethink what our priorities are. Because, as Robert said, when he was growing up in his early 20s, you know, he had security in mind. He wanted to buy those 10 acres, set himself up with a whole lot of baked beans, and be secure. And we all want security, don't we? We all want that safe place. But following Jesus doesn't necessarily give that to us in the here and now. He might call us to go places and tell people that might cause us to be uncomfortable, persecuted, ridiculed, maybe to even death. Take up your cross and follow me instead to embrace the way of Jesus. And he gives them four fours. Four fours. Not 16 reasons, but just four. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Now that's backwards, isn't it? In the natural, that doesn't make any sense. How can you, if you save your life, you'll lose it, but if you lose your life, you'll save it? For my sake and the gospel, the good news, you will save it. But it's about, again, it's about priorities and what you hold on to. Now you'll see around the room there's sand and a cross and a bowl. And I'm going to talk to you about that later on. But right now, if I take a handful of sand and I hold on to it, and you know what? The tighter I try and hold on to that sand, the more it just goes through my fingers. And eventually, I'm just left with a sandy hand. But Jesus says, you know what? You need to live your life loosely. If you give up your life for my sake in the gospel, if you pour out your life for me, then you will have an open hand. If we live our life closed-handed, if we live our lives for ourselves, we've still got a closed hand. There's nothing in that. But we don't know that because we've lived our lives for ourselves. But if we live our lives for Jesus and for others, if we've given up our life for his sake and for the gospel, it's then that Jesus can fill us. It's then that Jesus can work on our lives and give us the things that we really need. Because what we're all really seeking for is meaning and purpose and love. And it's that that Jesus can offer us. But we can only really receive those things if we come to him open-handed, if we're willing to give up our life for him, to lose our life for his sake. Now, the disciples really needed to hear this. Because as you possibly know, most of them were killed. Most of them were martyred for the cause. So when Jesus was saying, if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it, this wasn't just a metaphor. This was a reality for these people. Most of the disciples were stoned or crucified or stabbed. We only read about James in the New Testament, but tradition says the others were also. But did you know across the world that last year, according to Open Doors, over 4,000 Christians were killed? Many, many thousands were persecuted. That was up from 3,000 in 2017 and double that from 2016. To the point where the Pope put out a YouTube video. I didn't even know he knew what YouTube was. But last month, the Pope put out a YouTube video asking Christians around the world to pray for the persecuted church, for the people who are dying in the name of Jesus. This could be what God is calling us for. We have such a safe, fortunate place, Australia. It's so beautiful, isn't it? It's such a glorious day. All our needs are met. Most of our wants are met. It's hard to relate to the fact that maybe a gathering like this in another part of the world might equal death. But we need to be aware that in the physical, we need to let go of the things that we think are important to be able to prioritize the thing that God says are important. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Well, the answer, it's an easy answer, isn't it? Nothing. There is no profit in that. We can live for ourselves. We can live for our bank balance. We can live for power, prestige. We can live for our own purposes. But if we have a fat wallet and a skinny soul, a soul that's starving, there's no gain in that at all. None at all. And you ask anybody who's come to that stage in their life where they've given up family, they've given up friends, they've given up a relationship for God, for power, for prestige, and they will say, I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. Don't waste your life. For what can a man give in return for his soul? Again, nothing. But we try and satisfy our soul with things, don't we? We try to fill our soul with things that we think will satisfy. And there's so many things the world offers us. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew, Satan said to him, I can give you the kingdoms of the world if you only bow down and worship me. And maybe Jesus remembered that. Maybe Jesus was thinking about that when Peter said to him, you know what, there's an easy way. There's an easy way for you to go and become the king. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die. You're the king already. But Jesus said, no, I must do this. This is what I must do. I must go. I must suffer. I must be rejected. I must die. This is the way forward for me. And if you follow me, this is the way forward for you. But instead, we try and fill our soul with other things, the temptations of the world, whatever they might be. They're different for everyone. And some of them the world will say, oh, you know, those addictions, they're good in little doses, but they're bad in big doses. And maybe we've steered away from those. But maybe there's some other things that we've filled our soul with instead that the world says is fine. Security, even family, which is a good thing. even children, which is a good thing. None of those things will ultimately satisfy your soul. And the last four. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Is our generation any different to Jesus' generation? When you look around, are we not in the midst of a sinful and unfaithful generation? People who would just turn their back on God. And some people still think that Australia is a Christian country. I disagree. I think it's very clear that many people think that Australia is a secular country who have said, I have no place for faith. And so when you go and tell someone about Jesus, how do they react to that? On Monday, after you've been to church and after you've denied yourself and given up some money for some missionary overseas, what will your conversation be? Will it be about what happened here at church, about your relationship with Jesus, about the joy and the love and the peace and the acceptance that you've had in following Jesus? Or will it be about the football? Or will it be about the gardening or the weather or the movie you saw? The challenge there is, will you be ashamed of his words? Will you be willing to share the good news despite the persecution you might receive? Maybe someone will make fun of you. Maybe someone will ridicule you. Maybe someone in your family will disown you. But Jesus says, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you either. In one sense, a bit of laughter at you, a bit of persecution, it's a small price to pay. Are you willing to share the hope that you have? So these were the four fours, the four reasons that Jesus gave for this statement. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So where are you with that? As I said at the start, this is hard. I don't want to deny myself anything. But that's what Jesus is calling me to do. That's what Jesus is calling you to do. Let go of your aspirations for yourself. Let go of your desires for who you want to be. Instead, embrace what God has called you to be. Because what he offers you is so much more than anything you can find out for yourself. You'll only really get fulfillment in this life when you come to know Christ as Lord, when he meets all your need, when he is your all in all. So I'm going to ask you to do something physical today to represent maybe what's going on in your heart and your mind. So around the outside there's three different stations. There's a bowl of sand, and there's a cross, and there's a container. And Gary's going to play a song. The song is Christ is All. Christ is all in all. My Christ is all in all. And as you listen to those words, and as you think about God's call upon your life to deny yourself and take up your cross, I hope that as a representation of you stepping out towards that, look, we all live imperfect lives and we all need forgiveness. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who forgives the sinner. Jesus is the friend of the sinner. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. He is all those things and he wants to be all those things for us. But for us, he asks, are you willing to deny yourself and follow me and take up your cross? So as a representation of that, I invite you today, and I hope that you will all do this. There is plenty of space. There's plenty of sand. Take a handful of sand and put it at the foot of the cross. Let it go. Because whoever would lose his life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. Father God, as we listen to these words, Jesus, as you continue to speak upon our hearts, I pray that today this thing that we're going to do, this symbol of you being Lord of our life, is impacting for us, is meaningful for us. Lord, help us to all let go. Let go of the things that we think are important for us. Our desires, our wants, knowing that you meet our needs. Knowing that when you do that, when we let go of ourselves, when we deny ourselves, we can have open hands. We can live open-handedly and receive from you forgiveness and love and peace and a kindness and a joy that we can only experience in you. Lord, as we participate in this today, Lord, I pray that you will fill our hearts with that love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more, our services are on a Sunday morning at the Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. Thank you.